it's definitely always complicated to come out with an oil tax. So I think the legislative bill drafters are probably working on language. I think there's also clearly some disagreement within the Senate Majority Caucus. It's a bipartisan majority. 16 of the 20 senators are in it, and they have a very wide array of views on oil taxes. But whatever they draft will clearly be a starting point rather than, you know, anything the caucus has agreed to. So there's complexity with the actual drafting and then probably some disagreement about what it will contain.
So anything that we might see in regards to tax rates or any credits, that will be something that will probably change over the process.
The bill that the Senate is drafting is first going to be heard in Senate Resources. And Senator Wagner, who co-chairs that committee, is from Kenai, and he's indicated that he thinks the oil tax rates are too high, what they're calling the progressivity rate. The oil tax rates at high prices tend to escalate under the current tax, and he thinks they escalate too much. And he's tasked Senator Liesl McGuire, who has said she is quite sympathetic to the oil industry's complaints about the progressivity. And Senator McGuire will be sort of working on fixing, in her view, the progressivity provisions in the Senate Resources Committee. Of course, from there, the bill will go to the Senate Finance Committee, where it will be up for grabs again. And Senator Stedman of Sitka, who co-chairs the Finance Committee, has indicated he is more of a skeptic about the oil industry's claims. And while he thinks maybe the progressivity needs to come down a little bit, I don't think he thinks it should come down as far as the industry wants. And he believes that the state needs to give a little bit less to industry in terms of credits and deductions. And he's been asking for information from the Department of Revenue about what the state is actually getting for the credits we've given, which amounts to about $4 billion over the years since the latest tax was enacted.
So it sounds like we may see a kind of a chipping away at various sections of the measure as it makes its way through the committee process.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it goes, because the Senate majority is certainly not in any kind of agreement on it. So it may take a little longer than they want it to take. Senator Stevens, who's Senate president, has said he'd like to get a bill back to the House with 30 days remaining in the session, so the House has time to give it consideration during the regular 90-day session. Senator Stedman has said that's a pretty tall order to get a tax done that fast, and that he doesn't necessarily think it can be done. And the House, for their part, has said, well, if a bill comes over, even with 30 days, and it is significantly different from the bill that the House sent to the Senate last year, that it will probably take, as he said, it could take 4 weeks or 4 months. I think the chances of them completing this within 90 days are fairly slim.
On other overall budget issues, the supplemental budget, that was just released within the last week. And if I remember right, those are basically expenses that have come up within the last year or so since the legislature last met. What are some of the major items in the supplemental budget for this year?
The supplemental budget, which amounted this year, the request to about $100 million, and those requests will probably continue to roll in. There's a deadline, but the legislature, basically, until the budget bills are closed, they can continue to add to the supplemental. And that $100 million this year included about $38 million for settlements and judgments and claims for Department of Law. That's a little higher than usual. In part, that includes the $18 settlement for the Moore case, which was a lawsuit basically alleging that certain rural school districts were not getting adequate support for public education. So it remains to be seen what the legislature will do with that, whether or not they'll fund that settlement. Outside of the settlements, some of the big, there was about $5 million requested for fire suppression, and that's fairly typical. Legislators don't generally know what it's going to cost, so they fund that as sort of a supplemental after the fact when they know what the fire season cost. And there's a big request, $3.7 million supplemental request for the Department of Law, basically for oil and gas outside counsel is primarily what it's for, as well as litigation about the fast ferries. As most people in Juneau are aware, they have had repeated problems and the state is suing the manufacturers. And then there's some of what we call the usual suspects, adult public assistance and the Office of Public Advocacy. They are citing caseload growth, just that there are more expenses than anticipated. And of course, there are a variety of other smaller costs that have come up.
Now, the operating budget for the next fiscal year, work has started on that as well, right?
Yes, and generally the process on the operating budget begins in the House Finance Committee, which breaks into subcommittees. Each subcommittee is chaired by a member of the majority who sits on the Finance Committee, and the subcommittees are each tasked with giving a budget recommendation for each agency. And they've been meeting 2 to 3 times a week, and they will probably do that for several more weeks, and they've been trying to kind of dissect what each agency has done with its money, and they're trying this year to do more of what they call results-based budgeting, rather than just asking, what do you want and what do you want to do with it, saying, what have you done over the past 5 years, what's your plan for the next 10 years? They're saying it might take a little more time this year, but they hope for a better result, and we'll see. I have to say that my own impression watching it is sometimes more is less, and there's been such a barrage of information, I'm not sure legislators really know what to do with it. And sometimes they end up scheduling so many meetings that members can't actually make them all. And I've noticed a little bit of low attendance at some of them.
Are subcommittees working off of what I seem to remember has happened in previous sessions in which they are directed to make a certain percentage of cuts in each particular department or area?
No, they don't have what we might call a cap. As far as I know, Representative Bill Thomas, who chairs the operating budget process in the House, has sent out a memo, and it's more, rather than giving a hard cap, instructing subcommittee chairs, they are not supposed to add money. The budget jargon would be an increment. They're not supposed to add any new increments in subcommittee. They're supposed to bring those before the whole committee, which will sort of compile all the subcommittee reports when they're done and look at them. And by new increment, it means new money the governor did not request over last year. So that's probably, if anything, where the cap idea comes in. And they're also supposed to give special scrutiny to requests for state general fund money to replace federal monies or grant monies that aren't coming back.
And now every year we talk about this, but you compile travel expenses by members of the executive and legislative branches, and you came out with your list of totals for members of the executive branch recently. Has there been any increase in travel among members of the administration over the past year?
Well, it looks like there's been an increase in the number of people taking some overseas trips and very expensive trips. The top travelers last year were Governor Parnell and his Attorney General John Burns, who has since resigned. They both spent more than $65,000 in state-paid travel, which happens to be just a little bit higher than the Alaska median income was for 2011. And this is not to presume that it wasn't justified. They certainly, I think, would argue that those trips were for state benefit, and they could probably point to state benefits if asked. So there's no accusation here, but we like to compile the numbers for transparency. And there were a number of state officials who traveled internationally last year. There were trips to Tokyo and London and Belgium promoting Alaska seafood, and there were trips to China. Dan Sullivan, the Natural Resources Commissioner, went to meetings in Paris, and the Lieutenant Governor, Mead Treadwell, traveled to Greenland. So there were lots of trips, and the most expensive single trip last year was about $17,000, and that was taken. The governor and his chief of staff spent a couple weeks in Europe last summer with various meetings and promoting Alaska's interests in various places.
And next week we'll hear about legislative expenses.
Yep, we'll look at that next week.
Okay, Rebecca Braun, thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.